I have a query that even in a huge data warehouse could take 10, 15 seconds. Huge difference here. Intelligent Warehouse maps users' queries to the optimal summary table. Example, our user asked for product line sales for first quarter for product line 3X. That query is sent to the Intelligent Warehouse Hub. This is software running on a Unix server. There, the hub asks, what's the closest summary table that I have for resolving this query? Perhaps I have product line sales by quarter. If I have it, I'll use it. Let's get back that response as quickly as possible. But if I don't, what am I going to use? Maybe in this case, I have product line sales by month. So the hub will generate the true SQL to give me product line sales for product line 3X, where month equals January, February, or March. Hub will send that on to one or more relational database servers. Those may be on an HP server. They may even be on a non-HP server. The results come back to the hub and are pulled together, sent as my quarterly sales back to the end user. The end user didn't see that any of this was going on. It would have worked the same if it had to go to detail data. It just would have taken longer. That is of high value. It is perhaps the secret to data warehousing, according to one noted industry analyst. However, that is only half of the story. The other half of the story is that as those queries were going through the hub, they were being logged, so that an administrator using a Windows-based tool called the Intelligent Warehouse Advisor can look at the usage patterns over time. That administrator might see over a two-week period that a lot of users were asking for product line sales by quarter. Because of that, the administrator might say, okay, I need to populate a new summary table in my relational database. That will give my users a lot better performance. Likewise, practically no one is using product sales by week. I can get rid of that summary table, free up the disk space, save on build time. The few users who were using it, and there were very few, their queries will still work without any changes, without any recompilation, because we're dynamically mapping to optimal summary tables. Now, as we go through this process of mapping based on usage patterns, the data warehousing performance greatly improves, order of magnitude in performance improvement. You see on the next slide a picture of the Intelligent Warehouse Advisor. The Intelligent Warehouse also manages security. It maps security, handles security at the virtual level, which changes less frequently. As we add and subtract summary tables, we don't want to have to be changing security. So that's a very nice benefit. It gives us a wide variety of query usage reports. I can look at performance by time of day, by user group. I can drill down to individual queries. I can block queries that might be problem queries. On the next slide with business views, Intelligent Warehouse provides the business view through centralized metadata. This means that most any ODBC compliant data access tool can take advantage of the Intelligent Warehouse metadata automatically. Within most every company that we have seen of any size, different users will use different tools. There is no one tool that is best for all users, all user types. And even if a single tool is ordained by IT, you will find different groups who will unfortunately use their own tools. This gets IT out of the business of having to manage individual tools. You can manage the warehouse, manage these virtual views once, and all of the tools will inherit that. Furthermore, with new announcements that we have just made, we can take advantage of that metadata for easily generating multidimensional databases or multidimensional views, as we see in some of the products that Nancy talked about. Another ease of use feature is the Intelligent Warehouse Guide. As we mentioned, people have problems in determining what data is in the warehouse. What is the meaning of that? This is similar to the card catalog you find in a library. If I want to find a book, perhaps on business process reengineering, perhaps on Pakistani art, if I need to go to the library and look through all of the stacks of books, perhaps use some sort of code system, I will eventually find the book, but it will take a long time. If I have a card catalog or some sort of computer access to the listings of books, I can find that book much, much more quickly. That's what the Intelligent Warehouse Guide is. It's the card catalog to the data warehouse. It lets me look, browse through the contents of the data warehouse, look at business definitions. I might, as is shown in this example, see that the sale figures are in real U.S. dollars. They have not been adjusted for inflation. That's important for me as a business user to know. I may make a wrong decision if I don't recognize that. So that is another nice benefit of Intelligent Warehouse. Finally, enterprise scalability. Intelligent Warehouse deals with enterprise scalability both from a size aspect as well as from a diversity aspect. Yes, we have issues in handling very large sizes as we look at the enterprise. We also have issues of diverse user groups, diverse subject areas. Intelligent Warehouse allows a single data warehouse to be partitioned, either on a single data server or even across multiple data servers. Why do we want to do this? We might want to cut the data warehouse into pieces to reduce our load build time, to let different groups within the company have their own data control but still provide a single information resource. We can use this partitioning to scale up into the multi-terabyte range, tying together multiple, very powerful, large node SMP systems into a single logical data warehouse, managing those with the range is going to depend, but perhaps a half a terabyte on each system, and managing them as a single logical environment. Other enterprise scalability features of Intelligent Warehouse drill across for relating diverse subject areas. Normal SQL will not let me tie together items such as orders and shipments. You can't do it. The problem is that if I try to ask for May orders and shipments, what about the orders that took place before May, but the shipment took place in May? Or the order took place in May, and the shipment is going to take place in the future? If you try to use standard SQL, you run into the outer-outer join problem. You'll return back either redundant rows or too few of rows. This is a generalized capability that can allow me to tie together very different subject areas, perhaps different data warehouses. We have companies such as General Electric who are implementing Intelligent Warehouse with the intention to pull together their quality data warehouse together with their sales data warehouse and their service data warehouse, three entirely separate data warehouses, using this drill-across capability to relate quality issues together with service requests, profitability together with purchase of warranty. Very interesting things you can do to tie together these islands of information into real federated data warehouses. Finally, future directions for decision support. What do we have to see happening as we look into the future? Size continues to increase at a very, very fast rate, much faster even than the quickly descending prices of disk space. When we started our data warehousing program several years ago, most of the data warehousing requests that we saw were for the tens of gigabytes. Today, the average data warehouse is probably around 100 gigabytes, and we're seeing many requests up into the multi-terabytes. The size is going very quickly. Metadata synchronization between these varieties of tools. Intelligent Warehouse, as I've implied and don't have time to go about talk about in detail, has a number of capabilities today to help me in dealing with this problem of synchronizing the metadata between different tools. Additional capabilities will be needed in the future, and we're working on that, and we'll be making announcements in the future and helping in this area. Data mining. Data mining is the idea of looking for patterns and anomalies in data, either through manual means or through intelligent agents. The use of intelligent agents, neural networks, artificial intelligence, to do this sort of data mining, we believe will be a major trend in the future. Data visualization, the use of high-resolution graphic workstations to look at these patterns and anomalies. This may be tied with data mining. It may be a means of using the power of the human eye to detect data points that are far out of the norm. Another significant trend. And finally, bringing in a data warehouse so that it is used as a resource not only for your own internal use, but as a service to your customers, to your clients. Perhaps as an added service, perhaps as a charged service. Finally, where do we go for more information? For data warehouses, larger data warehouses, everything from 10 gigabytes to 10 terabytes, have your Hewlett-Packard sales rep in Europe contact Martin Fairmond at the HP internal telnet number of 312-8616. Martin is our field program manager for Europe, and he can put your sales rep in touch with a peaked pre-sales consultant who can talk to you in depth about the program. For smaller data warehouses, 1 gigabyte to 20 gigabytes, contact one of the Hewlett-Packard's data warehouse channel partners that Nancy has mentioned. Excellent choices might be SAS Institute or some of the other channel partners that we have talked about. With that, I'll go ahead and turn it back over to Brad. There are a couple of case studies at the end of the material that you may want to look over.
Thanks, George. Now we'll hear from Cecilia Campbell, who will talk about decision support implementation. Welcome, Cecilia.
Hi. You know, when we go out to talk to our customers, generally we find that many of them started off very upbeat when they started to think about implementing a data warehouse. They had a pretty good idea of what they wanted to accomplish. They knew they wanted to start a data warehouse for their company that would answer certain key business questions with proven technology that would be easy to use. But then the next thing that happened is they started to think about the questions of implementation. They knew that this data came from various sources, might not be clean, might not be consistent. How did they get it out? How did they put it into a format that would be easy for their customers to use? Then they started talking to their customers, and they found out, gee, I'm not even really sure what the question is that they're trying to ask. How do we put this into a database that's going to be meaningful to them? I understand that data modeling for a data warehouse is a lot different than it is for an online transaction support system. How much data are we actually going to need? If we do take and put this in, I understand that different databases have different sizing, and I've heard everything from 100 gigabytes to a terabyte of information. What do we do if we have that much information? Do we distribute it? Do we partition it? Which database do we use? All of these questions come up, and the more that people think about these, the more they begin to get worried about, what do I do next? So they start calling in the component vendors, and usually this is about where we come in. Typically, we find that the number of unknowns when people are starting a data warehouse are a lot higher than the number of known ways to go about doing it. So when they bring us in, one of the first things we say is, you know, the customers that we've seen who are very successful have a methodology, a process for rolling out how they're going to implement that data warehouse. Can you share with us what yours is? Usually there's a long silence, but those customers that have done this before, they can share with us their process, and they will say, you know, look, this is the only little piece of this that we don't know how to do. Can you help us here? But many of them really do not know all of the different components of it, and they say, well, what do you mean, a methodology? HP has found that when you take and look at creating a data warehouse, it's advisable to have some sort of a method or a process for rolling it out that allows you to take and look at the entire picture of where you're going to go, but to start small and to take and use an approach that allows you to reduce the number of unknowns while growing your knowns consistently over time. We found that it helps to take and not use the traditional application development life cycle, which defines the whole project up front and before it begins to build it, but to define the core component pieces of it, the key business questions that must be answered. Because as George pointed out, frequently customers don't know all the things that they're going to ask because this is new technology to them. In many cases, they've never had anything like this available, so they are just starting to learn what they can do with it. And as they get it in their hands, they do think, can think of new and better ways to use it. So it becomes very important to create a methodology or a process for implementing this that allows you to grow as your users' experience and skill set with this technology grows. Typically, we find that HP has a framework that provides us with a very consistent, proven process. That framework goes about setting a definition for what the project will be. It's been mentioned several times that data warehouses focus upon subjects and that queries and query times and performance is very important. In an online transaction processing system, the input of data into the database is very key. So you want to take and have a large number of tables that have a fine level of detail which allow inserts to take and updates to that material to be very fast. In order to provide performance for queries, it's very important to take and have information in at a level which can be quickly accessed. This means fewer tables and fewer joins, frequently highly summarized information. Getting to the level where you know how to create the summaries and you know how to create the joins quickly means coming to a very finely defined business problem, knowing exactly what the customers want to ask and knowing how they want to ask it, and then defining the database around that. Initially, the definition of the problem involves figuring out what the key core questions are, those components that must be present in an application in order to take and answer that question. The database, whether or not you must have extraction tools, who the key users are going to be. Eventually, you may have every user in your company there, but typically there is a business user, so you'll want to have that as part of your definition. You need a plan. Then you want to pilot that plan and make sure that the architecture for it works. You want to be able to roll it out to a limited number of users and test that once you have shown the architecture works, that those users are going to find it acceptable. And then you want to deploy it throughout your organization. Looking at each of these components a little more closely, you'll see that the warehouse definition looks very closely at the project objective. You can look at the big picture of where your corporation wants to go and who ultimately is going to use it and all the different divisions that are going to ask, but who is the real driver here? What is the business reason that you're actually developing this for, and what's the key, most important reason that they need to have that information? You want to identify a project team, and this includes an executive sponsor and four or five key business unit users, as well as some members of the IS team, including a database administrator. You want to come up with a plan. The plan is what you are going to then implement into an architectural pilot. Typically, this takes somewhere between 2 and 3 weeks, and the cost is something between $15,000 to $50,000. The difference between this depends upon how well your organization is prepared to actually develop this. If we come in and we find that, you know, you've actually know everything there is to know except a few key core components, it can take 2 days to develop this and the cost is going to be considerably lower. If, on the other hand, you have three different business units all competing and we have to take and work with them to get agreement upon who is going to be the key users in this and which business questions are the most important in a prioritized sense, it will take longer and the price will go up accordingly. Once you have a plan, that plan can be implemented by HP, or it can be implemented by a third party, or you can do it yourself if you're quite comfortable with it. But it gives you that methodology and that plan that you need in order to know how to get it out to your user. The key to any successful data warehouse is getting something into the hands of the users very, very quickly and getting acceptance so that you can go ahead to the next step. Typically, what we recommend is using a pilot that tests the core components and having a limited number of users. The slide indicates 5 to 10 users. Typically, 5 of those are end users and the remaining 5 are IS people. It's generally one subject area. We're talking about a customer or we're talking about a product rather than all of the different things that could be apped in a data warehouse. Generally speaking, it takes 3 to 4 months to test the components, and we've seen prices when it's kept down in scope of 100 to 150K. When people want to test the world and develop the entire universe, we've seen them run as high as 500,000. Our preference and our advice is to try to limit the scope of this, because if you really want to be successful, we would encourage you to take and get this out to your users and answer their key questions first. Once you've done that, then you'll gain the acceptance and be able to take and move on. Having tested with your core users and your core components, the next thing you do is you start moving it out to more end users, and immediately they're going to find new things that they want to ask. Typically, this is not every end user. We'll see that in a telecom industry, for example, where we had 400 users that were going to be the first subject area. Ultimately, they had 40 users in their corporate office, and they rolled them out to 10 of those at a time. As they did that, what they learned to do was to take and integrate these new questions and new subjects into the original data model. So by the end of this first set, they were able to take and be know not only how to take and define what the business problem was and the technology, but how to grow the data and the application as it went out further. Generally speaking, you've looked at the first set of core components, the technologies, and you've postponed certain other technologies that were not considered high priority. Which components were included in the pilot depends very much on an industry. In a process industry, a pharmaceutical industry, you might include security as a very high priority. For financial services, you might include an OLAP product for data mining and risk analysis. But generally speaking, there are many things that can be planned but not put into place immediately. So in the full deployment, you start looking at things like different kinds of end user tools, security packages that are necessary, processes for handling very large amounts of data as your number of users and data grows, and you begin to learn how to take and incorporate that into the structure of your application. Finally, you move on to deploying this worldwide by looking at how it fits into the rest of your organization. Global deployment is not only the sense of moving it out throughout the entire world, but also how do you integrate this with an email system? Or what do you do when you need workflow and you want to take and include this? Or now that you know which key questions are asked frequently, you might be tempted to take and put this into a standard report. But reports are frequently the bottleneck. Generally speaking, what you want to do is develop an application that gives you an exception report and perhaps displays that online. So global deployment is frequently integrating this into other applications, as well as the actual deployment physically throughout the world. By this time, you've had the knowledge, you've decreased your unknowns, and you've successfully rolled this out. We have quite a large number of customers who've done this, and I do have a slide that lists a few of those. I'll be happy to answer some of the questions about this during the Q&A. But I believe we have a survey in a couple of minutes here.
Yeah, thanks, Cecilia. Now before we get into the Q&A, I would like to hand the program back over to our Connex moderator for the program evaluation. It will only take a few minutes, and is important for evaluating the content and format of this telephone conference. Go ahead.
Thank you. At this time, we do have a few questions we'd like to ask you. You may answer the questions by using the keys on your telephone keypad. Question one, I would like you to indicate whether you thought the audio conference met its objective. If you agree strongly with the statement, press 1. If you agree, press 2. 3 is no option. 4 is disagree. And 5 is disagree strongly. Once again, the question, did the audio conference meet its objective? Answer from 1 to 5, where 1 is agree strongly and 5 is disagree strongly. You may answer now. Thank you. At this time, we will take question two. Question two, the information provided was of high quality and valuable. Once again, answer from 1 to 5, where 1 is agree strongly and 5 is disagree strongly. That question again, the information provided was of high quality and valuable. Please answer from 1 to 5, where 1 is agree strongly and 5 is disagree strongly. And you may answer now. Thank you. Question three. The information I received is relevant to my position. Please answer from 1 to 5, where 1 is agree strongly and 5 is disagree strongly. That question again, the information I received is relevant to my position. Please answer from 1 to 5, where 1 is agree strongly and 5 is disagree strongly. You may answer now. Thank you. Question four. The customer handouts were effective in assisting with following the presentation. Please answer from 1 to 5, where 1 is agree strongly and 5 is disagree strongly. That question again. The customer handouts were effective in assisting with following the presentation. Please answer between 1 and 5, where 1 is agree strongly and 5 is disagree strongly. You may answer now. Thank you. And question five, I am interested in learning more about Decision Support Initiative and data support products. Please answer 1 for yes and 2 for no. That question again, I am interested in learning more about Decision Support Initiative and data support products. Please answer 1 for yes and 2 for no. You may answer now. Turn the program back over to Mr. Porter.
Now let's go to the question and answer portion of the program. We'd like to get to as many of your questions as possible in the short time remaining. We only have a few minutes left. But if you don't get your question answered, please feel free to call 1-800-637-7740, which is our direct marketing which is our direct line to the marketing organization in the U.S., or your local authorized HP sales or DMO representative outside the U.S., and they should be able to help you answer your questions or order materials for you. Okay, let's try to answer as many questions as possible in the next couple of minutes. Let's start.
Thank you. At this time, we will take your questions. If you have a question, you may register by pressing the 1 key on your touch-tone phone. Once again, if you have a question, please register by pressing 1. If you would like to withdraw your question before being called upon, you may press the pound key. We'll take our first question from Mr. Cortez in Fort Worth. Go ahead, please.
I was just curious, how long does it take to update this warehouse? In other words, you've got all this information, you want to get into your data warehouse. When do you update it, how frequently, and how long does it take?
This is George Ferguson. In answer to your question, the updating of the data warehouse is most typically done by companies overnight or over a weekend. The actual time, this is a narrow time window, and this is a significant concern in larger warehouse environments because we need to look at moving all of the data, extracting the data from our operational systems, doing the cleanup, doing the file transfer, and actually doing the load. How long does that take? I mean, that's going to depend. This is a serious concern for some companies. One company we dealt with, I believe it was Grand Met, actually reported that they were running through the entire weekend and on one occasion actually did not finish doing the load until Wednesday morning. This was on their pre-Hewlett-Packard warehouse. This was actually one of the values they saw was intelligent warehouse. I mentioned the load build time issue, and they are taking advantage of partitioning so as to greatly cut down that load build time. They don't have to build all of the summaries. They only need to build for the most current partition. But it is definitely going to vary widely. In small warehouses, a full load is possible. But in most larger warehouses today, you really need to deal with incremental loads of just the newest information, and then periodically you'll back out old information.
Thanks, George. Let's go to the next question.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Mr. Kukla in Pontiac, please.
Yes. My question is this. What are the best sources of information regarding how to best do a data design for a data warehouse? We are an Oracle HP environment here. And another part to that question would be, basically, how does the HP Intelligent Warehouse interface with the Oracle environment?
All right, I heard the first part of the question. I did not hear the second part, but let me answer the first part, and then I will ask you to repeat. Okay, George said he heard the second part. This is Cecilia Campbell. In terms of the training that's available for decision support, there is not a lot available by way of written material on how to design a decision support database. There are a number of people in the field, trained consultants, who can teach classes on-site for you or assist you with design. For example, Ralph Kimball is a well-known authority in this area. There are a number of database design companies who also offer services and training in the area, Redbrick being another. If you go to some of the large data warehousing conferences, you will find some of the people who are knowledgeable in this area offering abbreviated courses as part of it. One, for example, that was offered by Bill Inman in Washington, D.C., had courses on how to go about designing data warehouses. And, of course, Hewlett-Packard, when they do the work as a consultant, assists you with learning this process on-site with your team. The knowledge transfer is very important to us as part of the process of helping you to develop your data warehouse skills.
In response to the second part of your question, yes, Intelligent Warehouse does work with Oracle as well as CA Ingress, Informix, Sybase, Redbrick, MVS DB2. We recently qualified Intelligent Warehouse actually with Oracle SQL Net so that we can support Oracle not only on HP platforms but on any platform in which Oracle runs.
Thank you, George. Go on to the next question, please.
Thank you. Once again, if there are any more questions, please press 1 on your touch tone phone at this time. We have no further questions at this time, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, that's all we have time for today. I encourage everyone listening to fill out their comment card and let us know in more detail what you liked or disliked about the telephone conference. Again, if you have any questions and you're in North America, please call 1-800-637-7740, and that's our direct marketing organization, and they should be able to answer any question or order materials for you if you want them to order some of the materials on the last slide of the packet. If you do want to hear more topics or new topics on these audio conference, we ask you to fill out the reply card and write down what you'd like to hear more about. I want to thank all of you listeners for joining us here today. Thanks, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in November at our next telephone conference. Until then, goodbye.